Hello, I'm Rashawn Winburn, a founding partner and investment advisor with Monument Capital in Dayton, Ohio. Thanks for your interest in this sixth in the series of eight podcasts being offered to you in partnership with the Honor Society of Phi Kappa Phi. As always, this is intended for educational purposes and no solicitation is offered or implied. The improper use of credit, knowingly and unknowingly, has played an important role in the recent financial crisis. While the conscientious abuse of credit is often criminal, the lack of knowledge about credit and lending has also led to losses for many Americans. Although we have recent memory of the financial crisis, this was not the first time, and these previous occurrences have led the government to enact fair lending laws which attempt to protect borrowers and prospective borrowers from unfair practices. Fair lending means lending without bias in basing credit decisions on criteria relating to creditworthiness, such as an applicant's ability to repay the debt or an applicant's credit history. Federal regulations that pertain to fair lending are the Fair Housing Act, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, the Consumer Protection Act, and the Home Loan Disclosure Act. The Fair Housing Act and the Equal Credit Opportunity Act forbid discrimination based on race, color, religion, national origin, sex, marital status, age, source of income, or a customer's good faith exercise of rights under the Consumer Protection Act, which affects all aspects of the credit transaction from advertising through the collection process. And by requiring public disclosure of certain information about mortgage loan applications, the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act aims to prevent lending discrimination and redlining, which is a policy or practice that either overtly or indirectly results in excluding minority neighborhoods from credit access. While having these government safeguards helps to protect consumers from bad business practices, we are often our own worst enemy. Today I will focus only on the basics, where I'll explain the prudent use of credit and issues that affect the liability side of your personal balance sheet. I'll explain the importance of debt and credit management, basic types of debt, reasons for borrowing, and other topics, as well as examine the issues of financing a home, liquidity, and education costs. With the proper use of credit tools, you can reduce the cost of debt, increase monthly cash flow, and invest in incremental savings, ultimately increasing your total net worth. You will recall from our first podcast that an individual's financial position or net worth is represented by assets minus liabilities. Now, we all borrow for different reasons, but the most common reasons people borrow include the desire to increase liquidity and flexibility, to acquire assets, to diversify assets, and to manage or optimize your tax liability. The standard rule of thumb for liquidity is to have enough cash available for 3 to 6 months of living expenses, but keeping such emergency funds in a savings or money market account leads to higher opportunity cost. By this, I mean you have less funds available for other productive uses like investing. Using eligible assets as collateral for a loan can provide needed liquidity or access to cash to meet a short-term need or to take advantage of a timely opportunity without interrupting a long-term financial plan. Buyers can pay for a purchase such as a home, a boat, a plane, or fine art over time or in a lump sum at a later date. At this point, it's probably important to distinguish between the status of loans, which can be secured or unsecured. Secured loans are those that are backed or collateralized by an asset like your home or car. Unsecured loans are those backed solely by your promise to pay like a credit card or student loan. The secured versus unsecured status of a loan affects its interest rate, as secured loans have lower rates but greater risk to the borrower, who risk a possible loss of the asset when using it as collateral. For now, let's focus on secured loans, in particular, financing a home. I'll assume we all know the loan for a home is called a mortgage, but what I believe many people get wrong is the timing for applying for a mortgage. The time to find and get approval for a mortgage is before deciding on which home to buy. The reason for this is to use the mortgage application process to determine how much home you can afford. It's important to understand this before you search for your home so that you are realistic about your expectations and do not waste your time or your realtor's looking at homes that you can't afford or more importantly, will derail your long-term financial plan. There are six important questions to ask when determining the most suitable mortgage. First, how long do you expect to be in the home? A typical homeowner stays in a home for 7 years or less. If the duration is longer than 7 or 10 years, it could pay to lock in a 30-year fixed rate and refinance if interest rates decline. Next, consider how much money do you have for a down payment, points and closing costs, or the cash needed to close. Might the money put down as a down payment work harder for you somewhere else? Third, what size mortgage is appropriate? For wealthier clients, we typically ask, what might your money be doing if it were not tied up in this house? And fourth, ask yourself, what is your cash flow? The first determinant of mortgage size is what type of mortgage payment can you afford to make every month. Another consideration is should you pay points. The answer depends on the amount of available cash and whether you will be in the home long enough to realize the benefit of the long-term interest rate reduction. By paying a point or points, you are buying a discount in the interest rate of the mortgage. Finally, determine if you'd prefer a fixed or adjustable rate. This is a rational and emotional decision. Lower payments are possible with an adjustable rate, but the comfort level with fluctuations in interest rates is also important. The recent financial crisis was indisputably fueled by the significant number of interest-only and adjustable-rate mortgages acquired over the past decade. Many persons were in homes they simply could not afford when the interest rates did adjust and the resulting higher payments were beyond their means. When applying for a mortgage, a lender will review credit reports furnished by credit reporting agencies. They will request verification of your current income, as well as the source, regularity, and trend over the past 3 years. Your personal liquidity will be in question, as it indicates a propensity to save and not consume. Finally, if you have already selected a home, they will need an appraised value of the home to determine its market value. Many people often confuse pre-qualification with pre-approval. Pre-qualification contains a series of questions that helps approximate the most suitable mortgage type and amount. A true offer is not provided as a result, because the lender does not verify credit, income, or down payment. However, pre-approval involves the verification of income history, credit, and down payment. Pre-approval typically carries a cost, depending on the amount of the mortgage, so you will want to ask about that before beginning the pre-approval process. In general, lenders use similar criteria for qualification. For example, under $300,000, they may desire to see 28% of monthly gross income used for house payments and 36% monthly gross income for all monthly debt. Additionally, it's a good guess in today's economy that an A credit rating and a loan-to-value of 80% with 3 years of job history would position you well for a loan. The loan-to-value is the amount borrowed divided by the sales price of the home. If the loan-to-value required is 80%, the lender is requiring a down payment of 20%. For those of you that currently hold a mortgage, refinancing might make sense. For example, if you have an adjustable rate mortgage and rates have fallen, or worse, you know you will not be able to afford the adjusted rate based on the previously mentioned guidelines, you might benefit from a new 15 or 30 year fixed rate mortgage. Your reasons for refinancing might include lowering your monthly payment via rate and term refinance, taking out some equity via cash out refinance, converting from an adjustable rate mortgage to a fixed rate, or paying off the mortgage faster. An alternative to refinancing the whole loan is the home equity line of credit. Home equity lines of credit are often the most versatile and often overlooked financing vehicles on the market. For most homeowners, the largest asset they have is their home, and the need to access the equity in a home is becoming increasingly important. Home equity line of credits allow homeowners to tap an otherwise illiquid asset and put the equity to work. They are less expensive than other forms of consumer credit and often are tax deductible up to the first $100,000 of the home equity line of credit. I'm not a fan of refinancing or home equity lines of credit for consolidating unsecured debt or making investments. I believe there is a time for it when consolidating mortgages for multiple properties, which would result in primary residents having a paid-off mortgage. However, I think it is a mistake to take out equity of your home to consolidate credit cards and other unsecured loans. My reasoning for this is simple. If you find yourself in a financial trouble, the credit card company can't take your home, but the mortgage company can. The flat-screen TV you probably should not have purchased won't have a repo man or foreclosure associated with it. I hate to see someone lose their home for something unrelated to the mortgage. In my opinion, it's just making a bad situation worse. Let's move on to unsecured loans. Now, loans are available for students to cover education costs. Student loans can be categorized by federal Stafford loans, subsidized and unsubsidized. Subsidized or need-based loans are those in which the federal government pays the variable interest on the loan while the student is still in school. This loan does not need to begin to repayment until 6 months after graduation. Unsubsidized loans are long-term, low-interest loans designed to provide additional funds to undergraduate and graduate students who do not qualify for other financial aid or who still need more money for their education. Students accumulate interest while in school, although it may be deferred till graduation. Another source is the Federal PLUS loans, or parental loans, for undergraduate students, which are designed for parents with dependents who are full or half-time undergraduate students. And finally, there are alternative loans. Examples include federal Perkins loans, private education loans, home equity lines of credits, or loans from your 401k plans. A great source for more information on student loans or paying for college is www.fafsa.ed.gov. You might also find information that you find of interest at www.finaid.com. An important note to student loans regarding taxes. Current tax law allows some borrowers to deduct some of the interest paid on student loans when filing tax returns. However, there are limitations placed on deductibility by the adjusted gross income levels and the alternative minimum tax calculation. After receiving an IRS Form 1098-E stating amount of interest paid for the year, it is advisable that you discuss your deductibility with your tax professional. Some other guidelines to keep in mind are that if a parent borrows to pay child's costs of attending college, the parent can generally claim student loan interest deduction, but if a student is claimed as a dependent by his or her parents, he generally cannot claim any interest. Putting it all together, to accomplish your long-term financial goals, you have to manage your liabilities as well as your assets. Businesses monitor their balance sheets, and as I have said in previous podcasts, we should run our financial life like a business. Assessing credit is accomplished most often by reviewing reports furnished by credit reporting agencies. These reports include an individual's payment history, available credit, and debt over a 7-year period. Lenders use this past history as a predictor of how the mortgage liability will be paid. Applicants can check their credit information by contacting the reporting agencies directly or by accessing the combined report via annualcreditreport.com. Your approach to credit and lending should not be overly simplistic, but remember not to complicate things. Keep it simple. Your job is to accumulate and preserve your wealth. Our job as professional advisors is to understand your situation and to deliver accurate and appropriate advice. Stick to the knitting by focusing on your job and enlisting the help of qualified professionals to help organize your financial life and implement the strategies to achieve your long-term lifestyle objectives. This is Roshan Winburn, founding partner and investment advisor with Monument Capital in Dayton, Ohio. As always, if you find yourself stuck or just want assistance, give me a call toll-free at 888-316-0885. Or send your questions to podcasts@mcpdayton.com. Thank you for your time. I wish you prosperity.